Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev took the rostrum at an international gathering in Moscow today. Hopes had been high in the West that he would announce new policies on arms, but there was little of that. Wyatt Andrews reports.
Gorbachev came to this international peace forum with no new arms control initiatives, calling instead for the Reagan administration to answer Soviet proposals from Reykjavik.
I would like to speak once again about Reykjavik. It was not a failure, but a breakthrough. This was not yet one more set of negotiations. It was a moment of truth when everyone saw the great prospect of emerging on the road to a nuclear-free world.
The Soviet leader proposed that worldwide pressure be brought to discourage the United States from deploying Star Wars. He called for an international treaty to stop deployment.
Such intentions are an attempt to create a new instrument of blackmail with respect to independent states. Therefore, is it not time to enact in international law a ban on having weapons whiz over people's heads in outer space?
Gorbachev repeated his call for the abolition of all nuclear weapons, saying mankind faced a death sentence as long as atomic weapons exist. He also answered critics who have described recent Soviet moves toward openness as propaganda. We change not because of pressure, he said, but because of our own new way of thinking. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Moscow.
Still no word on the whereabouts of Yosef Begun, a Hebrew teacher imprisoned in the Soviet Union for dissident activities. Georgi Arbatov, a high-ranking Soviet official, said yesterday that he had been released from jail, but Begun's brother Boris says he's been told Yosef is still behind bars, and a conversation he had with a prison official proved fruitless.
He told me that he couldn't give me any new information, that in Chistopol they do not have any message about the release.
Begun was the focus of a series of demonstrations on the streets of Moscow last week, which led to violent clashes with plainclothes security men and the roughing up of several Western reporters. Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir has arrived in Washington for the first visit by an Israeli leader since the Iran arms deal broke last fall. As we hear from Deborah Potter, the atmosphere is gloomy.
Already there's an air of futility hanging over the Shamir visit. Neither side expects that much can be accomplished. In the wake of the arms to Iran affair, the U.S. is sure to resist Israeli suggestions that the effort should continue to keep the door open to Tehran. There's a new skepticism in Washington about taking Israel's advice too uncritically. Having lost credibility in the Arab world because of its secret dealings with Iran, the administration is now moving to sell arms to Saudi Arabia and Egypt, raising hackles in Israel. There's also conflict over how best to proceed in the search for a Middle East peace. The U.S. has accepted the idea of an international conference. The Israelis are opposed. Then there's the Pollard affair, an American convicted of spying for Israel. The Israelis called it a rogue operation, but some U.S. officials are not convinced. Deborah Potter, CBS News, the State Department.
For only the second time in a quarter century, Israel is conducting trial for an accused major Nazi war criminal, a retired auto worker from Ohio. Bob Simon has details.
Unlike Adolf Eichmann, there was no glass cage for John Demjanjuk, just a formica box in a Jerusalem movie theater converted by the government into a courthouse. Arriving this morning, he shouted good morning in Hebrew and hello Cleveland in English. Like Eichmann, if Demjanjuk is found guilty, he could face the death penalty. Demjanjuk is accused of being Ivan the Terrible, the notorious guard at Treblinka who tortured his victims before he gassed them. More than 900,000 people died at Treblinka. The defense, led by Buffalo lawyer Mark O'Connor, does not deny that Ivan the Terrible committed those crimes. It denies that Demjanjuk is Ivan. It is, the defense insists, a case of mistaken identity.
The only outcome in a prosecution which is predicated on the basis of questionable identification is the acquittal of the accused.
The prosecution will produce witness after witness to identify Demjanjuk and speak of what he did. The trial is expected to last from 4 to 6 months. It's being carried live by Israeli radio. The purpose, according to Israeli officials, is not only justice but education, to remind a new generation of what happened during the Holocaust while there are still murderers and victims who can speak. Bob Simon, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Resistance to a nationwide austerity program in Greece has been building since it was put in place in late 1985. Today and tomorrow, the unhappiness is cresting with a general strike, as we hear from Linda O'Connor.
Virtually all of Greece's workers walked off the job today, demanding an end to Socialist Prime Minister Andreas Papandreou's unpopular economic austerity program that has frozen wages for the past 16 months. As one Greek newspaper put it, only housewives and babies won't be striking today, although housewives have been among those most severely hit by the country's 20% inflation rate and huge increases in the cost of food, housing, and appliances since the first of the year. Unions and the country's conservative opposition leaders are calling for early elections to oust the Papandreou government, saying its big spending and borrowing policies have bankrupted the nation and its workers. Papandreou's ouster might be well received by some Western European governments as well as the U.S., because of the socialist leader's long-time uncooperative stance on vital issues related to NATO, Greece's membership in the European Economic Community, and the continued presence of U.S. military bases in Greece. Linda O'Connor for CBS News, Athens.